Welcome back in, hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Nick Ladarius Robinson here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you guys today?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Corey, Preds on the verge of elimination tonight in Game 4 against the Avalanche. What has kind of stood out to you in terms of what this series may highlight about the Preds and their trajectory, and how do you feel about this team now that we've watched three games of this series so far?
Well, I'll tell you, more than anything, it's told me about Colorado and that they are fast and fantastic and on a mission. The way they're playing, I'll be stunned if they're not playing for the cup at the end. They look absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you know, Forsberg and Duchesne had unbelievable years, and it was amazing to watch what they did. But when you see what Nathan MacKinnon does and how he moves up and down the ice, it's a different breed of animal. I mean, it's like having a mountain lion and a house cat. I mean, he's just different. And it's tough to stop that. And again, it points out the differences in teams that are very bad for a significant amount of time and select very high, and the advantages that they get and they earn by being bad and selecting at the top of the draft. And they've got superior talent, and that's despite the Predators having career years. A lot of guys having career years. And I think what stands out to me for the Predators in this series is, you know, regardless, they're not good enough right now, but how do you get career years from all these guys who finish eighth? That's the big question.
So Corey, we've talked a lot kind of about the big picture today, and about what you just mentioned, the fact that, you know, that there is a benefit sometimes to kind of resetting and you know, plummeting to the bottom so you can come back to the top, but also that can very much not work too. What would your path be forward here for the Preds?
Well, I don't like tanking, the Cubs won the World Series by tanking, and I know it, and I'll forever be grateful. But I'm not for tanking. It's just not in my DNA. So if I'm the Predators, I'm meeting with John Hines and I'm meeting with David Poile. And I'm asking them, why did we finish eighth with career years from these guys? And what do we have to do to get better? You know, how do we compete with Colorado? How do we compete with Tampa and Florida and, you know, Minnesota and St. Louis and some of these teams? And they've competed very well with them, you know, during the regular season. I mean, they had what was their record against the Wild and the Avalanche during the season? Was it like 6-2 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, they played well, but you see here in the playoffs, those teams have got another level, and the Preds have got to find that level. And so, you know, you look at the decisions they made after last season, and you can't argue with them that they were the right decisions, right? I mean, you jettison Arvidsson and Ellis to get bigger, and you were better. You were better. You thought you were built better for the playoffs, but you haven't been. And I think that's another disturbing thing. And I just don't know, you know, this is a team that likes to play a heavy game. And are the Avs just too fast for them to hit? Are they like Wayne Gretzky? You know, Wayne Gretzky was a 150-pound guy out on the ice, but he was too fast for anybody to touch. And so it's figuring out what's the next step and, you know, is that enough? You know, is that enough, you know, to get them there? Because, like I said, you know, you can't argue that they headed in the right direction. I think the other disappointing thing is over the last 2 years, they've put together two halves, right? You know, last year, the first half was horrifically bad. I mean, where you just wondered if they were ever going to win a game. And then the second half of the season, they got it together and got rolling and looked good at the end of the year and were very competitive in that six-game playoff series. And then this year, the first half of the season, they keep rolling right along, and they are the surprise of the league. And then the back half of the season, they've just been very average, very up and down. You know, how, what do they have to do to find that consistency to be the same way, you know, all the way through the season? What's the disconnect there? I mean, those are the things to me they got to figure out, other than getting faster and getting more talented, you know, which everybody's always trying to do.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, this is the first time we've spoken with you since Ryan Tannehill addressed the media last week.
Oh, yeah, that was a good day. Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting day here. What did you make of the way that he handled that press conference and the Malik Willis mentoring story that will not go away around league circles? I saw apparently Mike Tomlin was talking about it the other day as well.
You know, it's really interesting because I don't know. I don't remember if Tannehill's ever talked during the spring before, because I don't think so. I mean, I think someone clearly told him, you need to come back and you need to talk, because the bullets are flying, you know, right now. And so he came back and he talked, and he seemed like he knew what was coming, because he didn't seem shocked by a lot of the volleys that were coming his way. And, you know, we got a lot of answers. I mean, I felt like we got more answers, actual answers from him than we typically ever would get. Some of them were good, some of them were not good. You know, hearing he was late to camp or to voluntary workouts to finish a home project, he probably should have just left it. I needed to spend 2 more weeks with my family and 2 more weeks to get my head right. That would have been a better answer, right? But maybe, you know, do you want honesty or do you want better? Honesty, you know, they had a new wing on the Manor. All right, so, you know, that was part of it. In the mentoring line, you know, there's a lot of different takes on this, and I don't think he meant anything malicious by it. I just think he worded it poorly, from the fact that I'm not going to train this guy to take my job. I'll work with him, you know, I'll help him along the way, but it's not my job to get him ready to take my place, because he's absolutely right. It's his job to be a good teammate and win football games. And being a good teammate is helping this kid get better, right? And so that's a better answer than the, you know, it's not my job to mentor him. Because in a big way, he's right, but he's also wrong, you know, because that's part of being a teammate. You know, I have people on my staff for years, and I know they would all like my job. Makes more money. You know, it's higher profile. But it's my job to make them as good at their job as I can. I don't sandbag them, all right? I don't sit there and say, you know, Kayla, Emily, it's not my job to help you write this story. You know, if they ask for help, or if I see they need help, you know, I'm their coworker. It's my job to come over and say, what do we need to do here? And so I think that's kind of the disconnect for me with that story, is kind of maybe a misstatement and also a missed opportunity.
I mean, I'm watching the Warriors-Grizzlies game the other day after the Preds game, and Jeff Van Gundy just brings it up. and it's like, you know, and it's basically become this thing where I think the general – for those who didn't take the time to watch the whole thing, which is most
people there.
Yeah, most people commenting on it, it's taken as Tannehill sort of angrily saying that, right? Like, not my job.
Yeah, well, and look, it also comes on the heels of a 3-interception playoff performance in which people are wondering about his future for the team. So that's everybody's last perception of Ryan Tannehill, and they now view him as a quarterback on the defensive, afraid of losing his job, when I don't think anybody's afraid of Malik Willis taking Tannehill's job this year.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is, man, it's wild. So now that the dust has settled? Is that the cliche? I think so. The dust has settled on the draft and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, Corey, that the Titans are going to be active in finding anyone else for the offense, whether it be a receiver or an offensive lineman?
I think they should. I think there's guys out there that can certainly help them. I haven't looked at offensive line as much as I have receiver. You know, we all know how much Mike Vrabel loves guys he's worked with in the past, and Will Fuller is sitting out there. The question is how much does he cost? You know, and that could just simply be a post-June 1 signing. you know, when the Julio money comes on board. And I know you need the Julio money for other things, something for other things like rookie contracts and stuff. But they could maneuver some things. But I think Julio, and these are names everybody knows. I mean, not Julio, Keenan Cole, Will Fuller, Emmanuel Sanders. You know, these are all guys who could help the team. I don't know if you can stomach Cole Beasley or not, but he's a guy who can play. You know, I'm not a huge Jarvis Landry fan because he thought he was worth $20 million for some reason. I don't know if he's worth five. But there are guys who I think for the right price can, you know, because you don't need them to be the one or the two. You need them to be the three or the four. That's why I think Will Fuller, you know, obviously he has a hard time staying healthy, but I think playing for a team like the Titans where you only need him for like 20 snaps a game benefits you both. It keeps him healthier longer, and it gives him the opportunity to show I can play 17 games and help a football team, and he gives you something you don't have, and that's that greasy speed, you know, on the outside, and some more depth, which wouldn't hurt in the veteran department. So I think they certainly could and should probably add another piece. I don't know who's out there on the offensive line. I think they're going to take a good look at what they've got during OTAs and minicamp, and they'll probably decide from there what they need to do on the offensive line.
All right, Corey, last thing for you. I saw this on your Twitter the other day. Do you think the Chicago Bears have a better offensive roster than the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, my God. Okay. So that was a Bears beat writer, right?
Yes.
And he was saying that the Bears skill position players were worse than every team in the league, and he listed like six teams. Does that sound about right?
It was the Texans, the Jags, the Titans, the Ravens, the Lions, and the Packers.
Okay. Number one, this is an absurdly stupid statement. He later retracted the Titans. But I just responded that the Bears don't have a single player who can sniff Derrick Henry, let alone Austin Hooper's better than any of their tight ends, okay? And I like Darnell Mooney, but I'll take Robert Woods and the upside of Treylon Burks over Darnell Mooney and whatever trash my team is throwing out there on Sunday. Even Joe's disowned Lions, look at what they're rolling out at wide receiver. St. Brown, DJ Chark, and Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
How on earth do you say that the Chicago Bears, my beloved franchise, has better talent on offense than that? That's all better than what the Bears have got. All of it. DJ Chark is better than all of it. And I'm just like, look, I know everybody works hard, but every team's got them. Where there are just fans who are now journalists, and believe me, I love fans. I'm a fan of the Bears, but I'm also a realist. You got to take the fan cap off when you start looking at this stuff. If you're going to really write something, and especially if you're going to put that on Twitter where idiots like me are lurking, you know, to jump on you, you got to really take a good look at the situation and say, are we really that good? Are we really that close? No. Look, Byron Pringle, they're lauding the addition of Byron Pringle, a guy who's best known for potato chips. Okay? He's best known for potato chips and driving like an idiot in his car. And this is the move you're lauding as well. We brought this guy in from Kansas City. We go, guess what? Patrick Mahomes isn't throwing him the football right now. And Andy Reid's not dialing up the offense. So guess what? I don't think Byron Pringle is going to be quite what people think he's going to be. I just don't. Just a hunt, okay? Byron Pringle is a 500-600-yard guy. That's it. The league is full of them. You could throw a line in the water and just hook one like you're trolling for alligators, okay? There's a lot of those guys who can do those similar types of things. This is not anything that you need to be proud of and need to be lauding. And how on earth anyone can say that Darnell Mooney, who I do like, makes the Bears' offense better than any team in the NFL is staggering to me.
Wow. I've been really waiting for 3 days to ask you that question.
Here,
I'm glad that you answered it that way. Corey, great stuff as always. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
All right. Hey, guys, the Predators have never been swept in a playoff series. I'm sure you brought that up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
my hope is that they can find a way to pull one out tonight because, I mean, I hate the whole lost hope thing, but I don't have any hope. And it's got less to do with the Preds and more to do with the Avs right now because they're just sensational. So have a great day.
You as well. Corey Curtis, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the show. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Nick Kieser back at the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are live at Pete and Terry's Tavern down here at Bridgestone Arena in advance of Game 4 coming up between the Nashville Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. Thanks to Corey Curtis from News 2 for joining us in the last segment, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. We appreciate Corey's contribution to the show every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Robert in Nashville texting in says, no pub is bad pub. At least the top, at least the Titans are being talked about on a national level. LOL. It was interesting to hear Van Gundy going on about that the other night in the Grizzlies Warriors game.
Oh, God. I couldn't believe he just brought it up out of the blue. And I was
like, hey, Brian Tannehill.
I don't even remember. I think basically he had the same point of like, but it is your job to mentor. It's like, okay. Do you know? It's that whole thing is amazing.
I'm gonna block out the word mentor from my vocabulary from now on. Never gonna bring it up again.
Brings up a great Seinfeld episode.
Yes, it does.
By the way, real quick on the two of the same. I don't know what we're gonna talk about this segment. You do.
I do.
But I will tell you that on the rant, the pool play. Both Dennis and Jacob Nashville both said people who think that like that was on purpose also think that Johansson tried on purpose to get his stick into the mask.
I was big on Colorado Twitter the other day. A lot of people think Ryan Johansson's like just a marksman out there with his hockey stick going through the mask to hit Kemper in the face intentionally. While he's standing in front of the net, battling for the puck.
Ryan Johansson and Jordan Poole are trained assassins, just posing as professional athletes. It's amazing.
And Ryan Johansson, like a member of SEAL Team 6 out there in front of the net, going after Darcy Kemper. Which, by the way, it looks like he might be able to play tonight. So that was scary. I mean, he was obviously in a lot of pain, and he threw his helmet off and was sliding around on the ice there. But, no, Ryan Johansson, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You could sit there and look at the goalie mask and try to do that and probably still wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
So the idea that was intentional by Johansson is pretty laughable.
I mean, I guess slow motion.
I mean, yeah.
You know, like anything slow motion, you can go and get it through there. But life is not played in slow motion.
By the way, if you missed it, the Titans taking on the Buffalo Bills in week 2 on Monday Night Football. So we know at least one game for the Titans on the road. At the Buffalo Bills, taking on the Bills for Monday Night Football in week 2. I think the full schedule comes out Thursday this week. So we'll get a look at the Titans schedule coming up a little bit later this week. But Monday Night Football coming up against the Buffalo Bills in week 2. So role reversal. It's an annual tradition now, the Titans and Bills on Monday Night Football.
Tannehill at that point would be like, whoo, get me out of Nashville. Let's play in front of a hostile crowd.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming the Titans open at home if game 2. They may not. Both the first two games may be on the road.
Maybe. I'm going to assume that they open up at home. Yeah. That's what we'll go with. Kyle on the text line says, I hate to say it, but soccer has overtaken hockey in our city. The atmosphere for a regular season soccer game is now better than Bridgestone Arena. I'm a huge hockey guy, so that's saying a lot. Let's pump the brakes on the soccer overtaking hockey and Nashville stuff. It's no disrespect to soccer. It's no disrespect to Nashville SC. Let's bump the brakes a little bit.
Well, I mean, I will say that, like, the soccer crowd is different. It's funny because that's one of the things when the entire country was noticing the Preds in 17 on that run, that's what a lot of people said, is it reminded them of the soccer crowds because soccer crowds, they are more involved than any other sports crowd that I've seen. I mean, it's constant. Like, it's actually a job. You know, to be, you know.
Yeah, like take a nap after.
To be like a supporters group. So, I mean, they're a fantastic atmosphere. Great new stadium and all that.
Big win.
Yep, got a big win. So, I mean, it's a great atmosphere. yeah, big time pump the brakes if you want to talk about like number of people in Nashville who are emotionally invested in either team.
But big win nonetheless. Beautiful new park. Great stuff from Nashville SC yesterday. We've been talking about this throughout the show here today, Joe. I mean, you're down 0-3 tonight if you're the Predators coming into game four, trying to stave off elimination. I mean, I look at what's happened so far. Games one and two, I mean, the Predators got run out of the building. Now, I know in game two it was an overtime game. The Predators didn't have the hockey puck from the second period until overtime in that game. Other than a 5-on-3 in which they squandered in game two, it did not score. Other than that, Colorado totally dominated that game. I thought it was better in game three. I think, you know, 5-on-5, the Predators by far played their best game of the series. The problem was the penalty kill, and you gave up four power play goals to the Avalanche. Give up four power play goals, you're probably going to lose. And that's what happened to the Predators on Saturday. You know, 5-on-5, if you can play the same way, you're going to give yourself a chance tonight, I think, to stay alive in the series. Obviously, the penalty kill would have to be better at that point. But I think 5-on-5, if you can play the same way, you got a chance tonight if you're the Predators. They switched up the lines. Chenault got moved up to Johansson and Forsberg's line. You know, Duchesne and Forsberg got separated. Duchesne played with Granlund and Cunnan. I'm interested to see if they stick with that tonight. They probably will, would be my guess. But it was an interesting look for the Predators, and unfortunately the penalty kill was their undoing in game three.
So how much do you think that the lineup switcheroo led to playing better? Or is it just a matter of being at home and having a little bit more desperation?
Well, I think there was some desperation. I think they had some juice. I do think the lineup was part of it. I mean, number one, it gave Johansson some life. We've talked about, you know, him with Cunnan and him with, you know, either Tomasino or Tolvanen. Just hadn't gone well this year, and they've tried different combinations of that, and it hasn't gone well. I was interested to see what it looked like with Janot. I thought he was okay. Like, I thought the line was okay. I mean, it wasn't like the Predators were in there just, you know, peppering the net or anything like that, but I think you saw enough to stick with it tonight. I told you before the game the other day, I wouldn't mind seeing Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne together, and I still wouldn't mind seeing that tonight and maybe putting Janot with Granlund at that point, but I don't know whether or not they're going to do that. But at this point, what do you have to lose down 0-3?
Yeah, I mean, looking at that a little bit, especially with last change, I mean, you know, it may not be the worst idea to try to load that up a little bit. And then is it possible, you know, like someone else who's been out? Like, what about like someone in place of Olivier, possibly?
Yeah.
Is that something to consider? I mean, they went with the – I don't know. What did you think specifically of just the young guys line?
Well, look, I thought it was an interesting change of pace. I thought they were okay. I mean, Tolvanen had scored. It was on the power play. You had Glass with him along with Tomasino. I know people have been clamoring for that. I didn't really think they were much of a factor in the game, and I don't think they're going to be in this series. So I understand the appeal of the young line. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference one way or the other in this series. But, you know, honestly, I'd rather have Cody Glass out there right now than Matthew Olivier. And I know Olivier was still in there the other night, but, you know, let's see what you got in Cody Glass. Let's see. It was good to see Philip Tomasino back in there. I disagreed with taking him out of the lineup in game two. So my guess is you'll probably see the same lineup tonight, game four, but we'll see what happens on that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What has this series taught us about the Preds and how competitive they can be as they look forward here in the long term? 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've tossed this question around and got a lot of reaction today on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you think of the Predators and the trajectory that they're in as a franchise? I said this on Saturday, and we'll have Darren McFarland come up at 9 o'clock to talk about this a little bit more as well. It's an interesting spot for the Predators to be in, because in a lot of ways, I think they've overachieved this year. I had them finishing in seventh in the Central, like a lot of people had them finishing seventh. Now, you had them making the playoffs, so kudos to you. I don't think we've given you your proper congratulations here on the show. Yeah, you should. Clap for yourself. But a lot of people had them finishing sixth or seventh in the Central, and they ended up finishing fifth, making the playoffs for the eighth consecutive year. You know, you had guys like Duchesne and Forsberg and Josi just blow it out this year offensively. And it was fun to watch, and I think for a lot of people they overachieved. And then you have the way the season ended. They've been kind of struggling, taking on water for the last month. They're down 0-3 in the playoffs. They very well could get swept tonight by the Colorado Avalanche in Game 4. And you start to look at those numbers that I just talked about with Duchesne and Forsberg and Josi and think to yourself, okay, Duchesne had 43 goals, Forsberg had 42 goals, and Josi put up almost 100 points as a defenseman for the first time since the early 90s in the league. And all that, and by the way, your goaltender is pretty good, and all that was good enough to get you the last spot in the playoffs and potentially swept in the first round? Well, what does that mean as you move forward? This is a really fascinating spot for this team and this franchise to be in, because honestly, I'm not sure that I know what it means, Joe. I don't know, you know, if those guys regress. Let's say Forsberg resigns, which is a big if at the moment, by the way. Let's say he resigns and he regresses from 42 goals to 30 goals, and Duchesne regresses from 43 goals to 27 goals. Well, what does that mean for your team next year? Does that mean you're out of the playoffs? It's a really interesting spot to be in.
It's funny to hear you say, imagine Duchesne regressing to 27 goals.
I know.
But that is true. Yeah, it's – I don't know. I can't imagine – well, there's so much I don't know. You know, Forsberg starting there. But I can't imagine that you can count on those guys for 85 goals moving forward. You also would hope. If you want to talk about regression, you could regress the other way, right, to the mean, and say you could probably expect Tolvanen to have a better year, I think. But maybe not. Maybe it was just a little brief flash in the pan for him last season. Tomasino getting better. I mean, there's some things you can look at, like is Janot. Is this Janot? Is he going to be a 20-goal scorer consistently year after year?
I think he can be.
Yeah. But again, you got that this year, and still you're in this spot. So it's a lot easier to see things going the bad way than it is to see things getting better, even though there are a lot of young players. So it is the question, like as we talked about earlier in the show, if you want to really simplify it, it's either you move forward and you're trying to build on what you have here and see if you can add to it and retain what's good and build and get a lot better in other spots, or you need to really just start over to a large extent. By the way, Dustin Hopkinsville, frequent contributor, says, okay, Joe, since we're so dumb for saying blow it up and remove Poile, what would it take for you to say that? Did I say that on the show today?
I don't think so.
I don't remember saying that. What are you talking about, Dustin? I didn't say anybody's dumb.
Explain yourself.
I certainly did not say that. Certainly didn't mean to say that if I said it. I don't know for sure that that's the right answer. I'm not going to know. They could lose 8-0 tonight, and I'm, you know, I think you can make both cases. But I understand people who want Poile out. I get that. You know, I think you have to have a plan, and I think a bigger part of that discussion is like the ownership group, you know, who's calling the shots, what are the discussions. I mean, it's just it's a weird situation compared to most professional sports franchises.
Chuck on the text line says David Poile needs to go. He should have traded Duchesne and Forsberg last year to build for the future.
Oh yeah, last year was easy to trade Duchesne. You could have traded
him up for the Kraken for free. He was unprotected.
Yeah.
They didn't take him.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go back and revise that history. My gosh.
Now, Forsberg.
Now, that I will call dumb, okay?
Yes. Now, Forsberg, you know, there are some that think, you know, maybe the time to trade him was last offseason. But, again, you're the Predators. You're trying to sign him to a contract. Now, yeah. If he signs now, great. If he doesn't, and that's going to be something. Like if they get through this and they lose tonight or in game five or whenever, and you're out in the first round, and then Forsberg doesn't re-sign, I agree with what you said earlier. People are going to be probably as mad or more mad at David Poile than they've ever been in this town, and justifiably so. Like, if you get through this situation and you're out in the first round and you lost Philip Forsberg for nothing, that's a pretty tough look if you're the Predators.
And just trounced in the first round.
Yeah.
If it keeps going this way, yeah. Now, it's worst-case scenario. Weeks ago, you know, actually what we talked about was what if they somehow don't get in and then don't resign. And I know some Preds fans are like, I might have been okay with not having to watch this series the way it's going. Well, but, come on, you want to make the playoffs.
You do. I don't think there's any question about that. Now, it's not gone well to this point, and I said this Saturday. I mean, this thing, it's over. I mean, you're not beating Colorado four times in a row. So, they very well go on to win tonight. I thought they played decent last game, and then it just got away from them on the power play and the penalty kill. You fix that area tonight, and you don't give up a power play goal, which they didn't do in game two, then maybe you're feeling a little bit better and your 5-on-5 play carries you to a win tonight. But the idea of beating this team four times in a row, they're too good. And it's been impressive to see what Colorado has done. I just think it's a really interesting spot that the Predators are in, because now the bar's there. Like, you know what you have to be in order to compete for a Stanley Cup. Colorado's it. And there's a handful of other teams that you can point to around the league as well that fall into that category. I guess the question is, how close do you think you are if you're the Predators? And I think you go through Preds fans, there's a lot of different opinions on that. You know, the first thing a lot of people point to is, well, let me know the answer to that question when our goalie's in net, because we don't have that in this series.
Yeah.
I still, like, Soros, I'm not saying Soros wouldn't make a difference in this series, because obviously I think he would.
Yeah, they wouldn't have given up seven twice.
No, they definitely would not have done that. But maybe it's 2-1. I still kind of think I think they'd be down 0-3 either way. And
because Ingram gave you that incredible goalie game.
Yeah. Like, what you can't do here, and what I hope that no one does, is just, well, we're just going to totally wipe the slate clean here and act like this series didn't happen because Soros wasn't in net for it. I do not think that's the right approach.
No, that's a bad way to look at it. So back to Dustin. His point is, for blowing it up, is that you have to get through the Avs, to get to the finals. No hopes for this group standing toe-to-toe with that team for the next 5 to 7 years. And I hear that, but, I mean, let's also remember, so the last time the Preds won a playoff series was 2018. At that point, they were the President's Trophy winner. They were a very good team. It was not just some flash in the pan in 17. The next team backed that up, and they played a young, kind of promising Colorado team that I would not have guessed would be here today, right now.
Yeah.
Maybe you did, maybe others did. And also remember the Preds in Winnipeg that year were just, they were the best two teams. They played this knockdown, drag-out, second-round series. You know, it didn't take long for both of them to fall off. I'm not saying that's going to happen for the Avs, but it does change quickly in this sport, over a few years. Some of these core groups, they do have, I mean, you see Tampa Bay, look, Boston's core has gone through different eras, and they've continued to be very good. But also, teams rise and fall in this league pretty quickly.
Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick the Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The caller will have an opportunity to guess the goal scorer tonight for the Predators. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming event at Bridgestone Arena. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. The standings are as such. The competition, fierce, as we head into what, you know, Joe, this could potentially be it tonight in Preds Pick to Click. It's a big moment here in the competition.
Boy.
The listeners and Joe Rex Road tied at 19 correct answers apiece. I'm in, third with 17 correct answers. Michelle with 15. By the way, Nick Kieser will be picking for Michelle today here in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Josiah. Josiah, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I've got to go with Matt Duchene. He's the only one that's been awake all series, so.
Josiah, we appreciate you calling again. So Josiah going with Matt Duchesne, as he says, the only one that's been awake all series. So Duchesne off the board. Joe Rexroad, this time's up well. You are first today among us in the competition. So Duchesne is off the board. Typically, the selection has been Philip Forsberg after that. I'm interested to see where you go with it today.
I am going to go there, although it's worth a pause given his lack of effectiveness in three games in this series. But typically with Forsberg, and I think this year more than any, which speaks to his bottom line, the fact that he got to 40, he hasn't had the long lulls.
Yeah.
And in the postseason, three games, that is a long lull. But I think Forsberg is going to figure it out and get on the board tonight.
So it's going to come down to potentially tonight between Duchesne and Forsberg. And Rex Rhodes ride it out with number nine. We'll see what happens on that front. Duchesne and Forsberg off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
I'm about to say Roman Josi, honestly. You know, he's been real hot from the back over there. I really think he's got a good chance to score tonight, especially if they're on the power play. So I really like that chance.
So going with Josi, the captain, who did score last game on the power play as well.
Now, before you pick, you know, if you get it right and neither of us get it right and the Preds win tonight, you're not done, man.
I know.
You're not done. Don't just throw this pick away.
I'm not throwing it away. There's no throwing it away. It's just after those three, it's hard to feel confident about anybody in this series right now scoring a goal. But I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to say Mikael Granlund finds the back of the net tonight. Okay. I don't think it's been a great series from him, but I think he's been more of a distributor so far. I think he finds the back of the net tonight, so I will go with Granlund in the competition. So Duchesne, Forsberg, Josi, and Granlund, the selections today. And Preds pick to click. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I do want to point out some breaking news in the NHL. Looks like Barry Trotz has been fired by the New York Islanders. So Barry Trotz, obviously here in Nashville a long time, goes from Nashville to Washington, wins a Stanley Cup, leaves after winning the Stanley Cup to go to the New York Islanders. Islanders very disappointing this year. There's a lot of reasons for that. They started off like their first 13 games on the road or whatever it was. Had some COVID issues, injury issues, and really never got the ball rolling this year. Barry Trotz out with the New York Islanders. I'm kind of shocked that they did that. Like, their problem is not coaching. Problem is, their roster was ancient this year. And secondly, it was just such a weird year for them with their schedule. I'm very surprised that this happens, but now Barry Trotz is out there and available, and I can see the text about to flow in for
well,
the Predators.
I mean,
Barry
is
Trotz.
There some local relevance to this story?
You know, hey,
man. First of all, I did not expect this to happen, and I think it's a bad move. I mean, my gosh, he's been the toast of coaching in the NHL not long ago.
Yeah.
But that also, this is the NHL, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is just like, I mean, like no other sport. It's just sort of like, get that guy out. I don't know. Let's try there. Let's try with the guy in the suit behind the bench. Let's give that one a shot. It's amazing. Yes, this is going to be talked about locally, I'd say, quite a bit. So, you know, we've talked about the whole Poile, Hines, job security, all that stuff. Hines hasn't been extended. And I've said, the one thing I've said, I don't know if firing David Poile is the right thing to do. It's an easy thing to say. I don't know that it's the right thing to do. I think it's incredible that one GM would be in charge of a sports franchise this long. There's a lot to say for the consistency and success. But I stand by, David Poile should not, after firing Laviolette and hiring John Hines, should not be able to just fire another coach and hire another coach. But the thing is, Trotz muddies the waters there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I got to say, I did not expect this to happen today. Did not expect him to get fired. I don't know, if you're a Preds fan, what do you think about that? Barry Trotz being out there and available. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Thing is, like, this doesn't change the way that I feel about John Hines. Like, I think John Hines has largely done a good job here. And I know, you know, people are going to look at the results of the playoff series, you know, the Arizona one. You know, that's the one to me that got away. And he was just tired. It was COVID. It was a bubble. It was a weird situation. And nobody picked the Predators to beat Carolina last year. Nobody picked the Predators to beat Colorado this year. And I thought the Predators did a good job last year in that Carolina series. It was competitive. Obviously, this one has not been, and it very well could end tonight in a sweep for the first time in the history of the playoffs. So I'm not going to, you know, discount the possibility of anything. But I still think the issues with this team are more roster-based than they are coach-based. And I think John Hines has largely done a good job. Now, I know there are people that will vehemently disagree with that, but I think you and I are largely on the same page there.
I don't. I mean, look, you can nitpick whatever you want to nitpick, okay? Nothing, you know, no one's perfect. And I do think that it's fair to wonder about style of play and fatigue and things like that. But as I said earlier on the show, every year there's a team in the spring that goes through the entirety of a Stanley Cup playoff run after an 82-game season playing that style, because that's really what it is in the playoffs, and they make it through. So I just think that's probably a little bit overblown. People freaking, you know, it's like you and I are sitting there in the press room trying to talk Jared to calm down because of this challenge, which I don't know what he tweeted. I'm sure it was awesome stuff about how this challenge is the worst coaching move in history, even though it's a completely defensible move. But if you're out on Hines, you're out on Hines. You're going to try to find that stuff, right? I mean, you're going to overemphasize things like that. I think he's been pretty good to very good. I think he's been good. You know, the way that this season ended and the way this series is going takes some luster off it. But
yeah,
he's been good, and he is not the problem. But, again, look at this league. Barry Trotz is like, I don't know, if you want to list out the issues for the Islanders, he's maybe number 73 on the list of issues, and he just got fired. So that's the NHL.
Well, let's think about this for a second. When's the last time the New York Islanders had any success whatsoever? It's been
the 80s?
Decades. Decades.
The early
since
80s?
Since they've had any success. And he took them to back-to-back conference finals. Or whatever last year was, because, you know, the divisions weren't the same last year.
Yeah.
But he went to back-to-back
Final four
rounds. And this year they missed the playoffs, largely because, like I said, their roster is ancient. I mean, you've got Zach Parise and Zdeno Chara skating around out there at the combined age of 205. And you think you're going to do some damage that way? And then you fire the coach. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. No, it really is laughable. There are a bunch of teams out there who are like, oh, really?
Really? Barry Trotz is available.
As
huh?
they should be. Well, look, like with Hines. So, again, fair question when he comes in, you know, his track record. You know, it wasn't great. It was very limited in the NHL. He took over a bad team. He got into the playoffs one time. By the way, that New Jersey Devils franchise went 27-46-9 at 63 points this year. They're dog water, you know. But, hey, they fired John Hines a couple years ago. I mean, it's, you know, it's just always – not always, but it's way too often the choice of fix in this league. And Trotz, though, man, that's an all-time dumb move.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland from Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on Barry Trotz's dismissal from the Islanders and the Predators and the Avalanche coming up in Game 4. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.